Come and listen to my story about a man named Jim, a hedge fund guy whose returns got really big. And then one day as he was shooting for the moon, you finish the song. I guess after that last show, my singing career is over. But thank you so very much for joining me. Anyway, I'm Paul Douglas Boyer here on the Mad Money Machine, which I can now say is the only investing podcast to be nominated for Best Business Podcast at podcastawards.com. Thank you so very much, faithful listeners and nominators. And like I said on the website, I will not hound you to actually waste your time and vote for this show because Manager Tools or maybe Media Artist Secrets has it all locked up. But just getting nominated itself was the best possible outcome for me, and I want to thank you so very much. It means a whole lot to me, starting from humble beginnings last December all the way to nominated as Best Business Podcast. I'm thrilled to death. Thank you very much. But getting nominated for that doesn't mean a thing if I can't bring the goods there each and every week. So we're going to try to bring you some good stuff this week, too. I've been on vacation since, Saturday. Yeah, vacation again. Can you believe it? I went to the beach, and now this time I went to the lake. I just got back last night, so I'm trying to put together some good stuff for you this show. I've got a lot of stuff backed up. We're going to give away a book. We've got Guru Roulette, a whole mishmash of stuff, all thrown into a pot, stirred up, and called the Mad Money Machine. And we'll see what comes out of the pot this time. Hopefully next week I'll have a more organized show for you. Well, the Mad Money Machine, nominated for Best Business Podcast, you know I'm going to milk that for all it's worth, is proud to be sponsored by Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com, matching people with portfolios. So let's see what's happened since last week. Well, one thing is I went to the Money Show. Have you heard about these things? They have sort of investment seminars at big conference centers around the country. Las Vegas, San Francisco. Well, they had one in Washington, D.C. And living not too far from there, I drove on over and got to hear some speakers at the show, including Steve Forbes, Newt Gingrich, who had a book signing. And you remember several shows ago, I talked about a guy who had some Google ads on my website that talked about the imminent demise of the Jim Cramer Mad Money Show. The guy predicted that Jim would collapse and fall down on June the 6th during the lightning round. Well, that guy's name was Mark Skousen, and he was a speaker at the Money Show, and he also had a book signing at the Money Show. And of course, I went up to him at the book signing. I said, "Hey, thanks for advertising on my website." And of course, he didn't know me from Joe Schmo. And I gave him a little business card that I made up, printed up myself, kind of a cheesy little business card, but he stuck in his pocket. And I hope you're listening, Mark, because we're having some fun here. But it was a fun show to go to and listen to those speakers. Newt Gingrich said he's very optimistic in the long term on America, but somewhat concerned over the short term of politics and things getting in the way. Long term things he's optimistic about are health and technology. Healthcare, he believes that soon, 20 years or less, there'll be a vaccine or drugs to help prevent Alzheimer's. And he believes that one guy is working on a 1,000-mile-per-gallon car. Just imagine the impact those two alone would have on society. But yeah, I took another vacation. This time we went to Deep Creek Lake in Maryland. Stayed at a house on a lake there with some friends and just had a great time. Had a pontoon boat, just took it out whenever we felt like it. Beautiful weather. It's great to get away. But it's also great to be back here with you. The one unfortunate thing about taking a vacation, though, is I am way behind on watching Mad Money. I don't know if I'll ever catch up now. Fortunately, he's got all the the show notes out on the website, thestreet.com, so I can read through and find out what's been said. And just here's another random thing. No, I do not have radio announcer experience, but thank you very much. Some people have commented that my voice, it sounds like I've been a radio announcer. No, I guess maybe I've just listened to the radio a lot. The only radio announcer experience I guess I have is when I was in high school, we had a morning TV show. And I got to be the morning news announcer for the television show. But I got to say, hey, if Paul Harvey's job ever comes available and they'd like to find a replacement, I wouldn't mind being considered for that. No, I didn't go into broadcasting. Instead, I went into engineering and specialized in software development, which is, I guess, how I got into being able to do a podcast, right? It takes some engineering and software skills to be able to put together these RSS links at the moment. They're trying to make all that easier so that everybody can be a podcaster. When everybody podcasts, it's going to be pretty chaotic, isn't it? Who are you going to listen to? Talk about the long tail. There's a book out called The Long Tail. You might have, I haven't read it yet, but we might have to get a copy of that. Well, a couple of shows ago, I mentioned how iTunes changed around its way of ranking the shows. You couldn't find out which were the top shows in a category, and you had to do some special things. Well, now they've changed around again. Now you can actually click on a category, and it will show you the top-ranked shows in the category. And Mad Money Machine's not doing too bad in there. Last time I checked, it was about 31 or something, holding in there. A lot of new podcasts from the big corporate types coming out, and they'll eventually push Mad Money Machine all the way off the chart. I have no delusions about that. Speaking of iTunes, I did go in and look at a review in there, and one of the most recent reviewers gave me a 4 stars out of 5, said good, said, I find it entertaining, but there's too much music he uses. He does stray away at times. He has some cool sections like Guru Roulette and Tool in the Crib. I think he has something against Jim Cramer since he implies that he is a bad investor. Well, I don't necessarily agree with that statement. That I imply Jim is a bad investor. In fact, probably the contrary, you know, of investors who pick stocks, he's probably one of the better ones. How else could he get a show like that, right? What I am trying to do is present the facts in an unbiased light. The facts being, how well has he performed? If the facts show that he hasn't done very well, it's not my implying that he hasn't done well. It's the facts showing he hasn't done well. And in fact, a little later in this show, I will imply just the opposite, I guess. And also this other thing about he uses too much music? Bah! You could never have too much music. I talked last time about Pandora.com and how it helps you pick music you like and how much I like the fix. Well, here's a fix-like song for you. If you don't like music, just skip forward. It's the Reverse Engineers from music.podshow.com with their song, Sunshine with the Shade.
Sunrise, could use some sunshine in the morning. Another mistake in the making. What's this trip worth taking? Could use some sunshine in the morning. Silver in this lining. There's always sunshine with the shade. Where's the dawn to end this darkness? There's always dry times to end a hard and endless rain. Thank you. mistake in the making. No trip worth taking. Could use some real love in the morning. Someone's starlight is the sunshine. They wish upon our sun in the nighttime. It's all been uncovered. There's some of them and us in them. It's all been discovered. There's no need to mourn for sunlight with the shade. There's always sunshine 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 with the shade.
That's rockin'us, dudes. All right, well, where am I on my cleaning out all my stuff, reading my books? Well, I've finished Freakonomics, which basically an economist explains why the reason some things happen the way they do isn't necessarily what you think. I finished Fooled by Randomness. Another interesting thing about that book was he said that the more frequent you look at your stock prices, the better chance you'll have of being unhappy. Because, he claims, that if a stock price goes down, let's say 1%, you're going to be more unhappy than you would be happy if it went up 1%. Do you see what I'm saying here? That the unhappiness of a negative return is more than the happiness of a positive return. And so he says, if you look at stocks every single hour of every day, they're going to go down and they're going to go up and they're going to go down and they're going to go up. They're going to bounce around randomly on their slow climb. And he says you're basically going to end up with a net unhappiness by looking at all your stock prices more frequently. I thought that was an interesting takeaway from the book. And right now I'm reading The Tipping Point by Malcolm Gladwell. I guess I'm getting caught up on some of these relatively recent popular books. The Tipping Point is all about how fads come to be, how something takes off and becomes wildly popular. And he says there are three types of people who help to create tipping points. The first is a type of person is a connector. These are people that know lots and lots and lots of other people. And so they help either talk to those people about the thing that becomes a fad. The second type of person is a maven. This is a person who just loves to share information with other people. Think of them as the consumer reports for other people, because they always tell you where to find the best bargains and how to get the best flights and hotel rooms and all that sort of stuff. In fact, he talks to one maven in there who actually wrote a letter to Consumer Reports telling them about an error they had in one of their magazines. And the third type of person is a salesperson, someone who can persuade you to do something. He talked in there about an interesting experiment where they put headphones on a group of people, different groups of people, and they had them listen to a couple of songs and then a brief recorded message that recommended that tuition prices should be raised from $500 to $800 or some number. And the first group of people, he told them just to sit perfectly still while they listened. The second group of people, he told them to get up and dance around while they listened. The third group of people, he told them to nod their head up and down as they listened to the message. Fourth group of people, he told them to shake their head from side to side as they listened to the message. And wouldn't you know it, at the end of the experiment, he asked the people, would you recommend raising the tuitions? And by an overwhelming majority, the people who had been nodding their heads up and down were the ones that said, yeah, we should raise the tuitions. I remember a long time ago, I think there was a book by Dale Carnegie or somebody, How to Win Friends and Influence People, something like that, that said, if you want to persuade somebody, first get them saying yes before you finally ask them the question that you want them to say yes to. And I guess that's the same principle here. So, if you would, nod your head up and down for me for a minute or two, and then I'd like you to answer this question. Will you vote for the Mad Money Machine at podcastawards.com? No, I don't waste your time with that. Yeah, but of the three types, the connectors, mavens, and salesmen that he mentions in the book, I guess that I identify closely with which one. The maven, the one that shares information and likes to gather information. I guess that's what I've been doing here. I've been trying to gather information and share it with you, the listener. So here's a piece of information I wanted to share with you. Last time we had the random date, April 5th, and we saw how Jim's stock picks would have done on that date. This time, I'm picking a date on purpose. I went out and looked at the stock charts, and I picked the day that the SPY, that's the spider, the ETF that tracks the S&P 500, I picked a day recently that it was lowest, and that day turned out to be June 13th. It was at $122.55. And I wanted to see, all right, so on June 13th, if I picked Cramer's stocks on that date, would he have outperformed the S&P 500 as the stock market went back up? Right? So since June 13th, the SPY is up 3.1%. That's our benchmark this time. His featured stocks are up 3%. His bullish stocks are up 3.3%, and his bearish picks up 2.8% on average.
Have you ever thought about anything outrageous? Has your mind ever wandered someplace else but here? And do you wonder what provokes the thoughts that you are thinking? Have you thought about the truth you hold and what it's rooted in?
And how are we doing out at the Portfolio Smackdown? MadMoneyMachine.com/portfolios. The ETF portfolio of 9 different exchange-traded funds is up 4.4% through the year. The 2006 portfolio of select Jim Cramer featured stocks is down 3.8%. General Motors is up 21.2% from when we bought it. And our heavy emphasis on the retailers, unfortunately, has dragged us way down. Chico's and City Trends, both of them are down 27, 29%, something like that. Even Sears Holdings is down 12%. We're going to hold on to Halliburton, even though he said to his Action Alerts Plus subscribers a couple of Fridays ago to sell it, which he said on his radio show last week. We're going to hold on to it because he's holding on to it in his portfolio for now. And how about the Mad Money Machine.com Investment Guru Challenge out at simulator.zacks.com? We have 191 entries into the competition. And still on top is Mark Allen with $145,000. Remember, we started with $100,000. JNAP35's got $138,000. Matt WB, $131,000. Alif Brahim, $111,000. Andrew Ender, $110,000. Nate Price, $108,000. CMRDER 108, TCS 1979 106, Mighty Mouse 105, and SB 104. I would say it looks like about the top about 15 people are above $102,000, and everybody else is $102,000 or less, obviously. But and then there's the Mad Money Machine com, which is way down at $49,000. Four places from dead last. But recently, I've bought some puts on eBay. Jim Cramer said that eBay stock is a sell. And so I said, well, all right, I'll buy some puts on eBay. And they are just now starting to pay off for me. I wish I would have bought some calls on Neighbors back when he was gave such a strong buy on it. He said the natural gas stock should be going up. But I didn't do that in the simulator. But I did do that in my real accounts. But who cares what I think about it? Let's go find out what our gurus think in Guru Roulette. I've replaced the numbers on a roulette wheel with the names of investment gurus. I'll spin the wheel and roll the marble, and for the selected guru, give you a little background on their investment philosophy. So here we go. And the winner this time on Mad Machine Show number 33 is Mark Hulbert. Mark Hulbert is the editor of the Hulbert Financial Digest, which has been going on now for some 26 years. In fact, I remember going to the public library probably 15 years ago to pull out a copy of his Hulbert Financial Digest, which ranked the performance of news stock picking newsletters. And I think he also tried to rank performance of some mutual funds at the time. But he basically subscribes to all the stock picking newsletters out there and ranks their performance. In fact, I've got a link now out on the madmoneymachine.com website in these show notes to a sample copy of his newsletter. And one of the newsletters that he ranks in there is one of the top performers called the No Load Fund Investor. And it's been published since 1979. There are several portfolios that newsletter suggests. One is the Wealth Builder category, which is the most aggressive. He said he says the newsletter's portfolios are less risky than the stock market as a whole. In fact, they've been 34% less risky than the Dow Jones Wilshire 5000 index over the period since January 1st, 1986. He says the below market risk can be attributed to the fact that all three of the letter's model portfolios include an international exposure and all are diversified among bond and money markets in addition to equities. Given this diversified low-risk approach, we should expect that these portfolios underperform the domestic stock market over the long run. And this has been the case. However, once their low risk is taken into account, on average, they do much better. On a risk-adjusted basis, among all the newsletters the Hulbert Financial Digest tracks, No Load Fund Investor is in second place over the last 15 years. Out of 57 newsletters. And among the 35 mutual fund letters they tracked over the last 10 years, No Load Fund Investor is sixth on a risk-adjusted basis. I also looked up, did a Google search for Mark Hulbert and pointed me to a Forbes article way back, some 5 years ago, but it's still relevant. It says, Hulbert's work has inclined him to these conclusions, expressed in two simple laws. Hulbert's first law is, it is extremely hard to beat the market over time. And the corollary there is, if anyone says he consistently makes spectacular profits, don't believe him. And Hulbert's second law, it may be hard, but it can be done. And the corollary is, we know who does it. They say it's in line with more recent work done in academe, which focuses on the so-called anomalies in the efficient market. Peculiar areas where the market does not seem to discount information immediately and can be exploited to achieve superior returns. The article goes on to say, in fact, one of the first of these anomalies to be documented was the superior performance of an investment newsletter, the Value Line Investment Survey, and its rating system's top-ranked Group 1 stocks. Today, ValueLine is one of the handful of newsletters that have beaten the market, including reinvested dividends, over the entire 21 years that Hulbert has been active. It'd be interesting to get an update on that. Well, if I were to pick another profession, I'd like to be Mark Hulbert and evaluate everybody else's performance. Come to think of it, I guess I've kind of been evaluating people's performance. Or maybe I'd like to be, like I said earlier, Paul Harvey and have a little show that talks about current events. I guess it turns out the Mad Money Machine is pretty well suited for the kinds of things I like to do after all. So Mark Hulbert, if you're ever looking for a replacement, give me a call. That's our guru for show number 33. Congratulations to Mark Hulbert. It's time for a little bit of Mad Money review. Well, Mad Money is a TV show where Jim Cramer talks about picking individual stocks, specific stocks. At the beginning of the show, there is a printed disclaimer that you have to read. The first part talks about how Cramer is not influenced by certain things and blah, blah, blah. But the second part of it reads like this, and I quote, "You should be aware of the real risk of loss in following any strategy or investment discussed on the show. Strategies or investments discussed may fluctuate in price or value. Investors may get back less than invested. Investments or strategies mentioned in this show may not be suitable for you." And then in bold, it has this: "This material does not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you." And then in regular print, "You must make an independent decision regarding investments or strategies on the show. Before acting on information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor." End quote. Well, here's an advisor you should contact: Index Funds Advisors at IFA.com. Before acting on any information on the Mad Money Show, you should consider whether it's suitable for your particular circumstances, and I strongly recommend that you contact Index Funds Advisors before you do any of that. IFA.com. Hey, what happened on last Monday's show? The video was about 3 seconds ahead of the audio. Did you see that? That was kind of weird. Here's another little tip. Go out to Amazon.com and search for Jim Cramer's book, Real Money. And you'll see a link in there to two videos. One is Jim Cramer on his Mad Money set saying, "Buy the book." The other video, though, is pretty funny. It's Jim Cramer. He shows up with the UPS delivery guy to personally deliver a copy of his book to someone who bought it. It's kind of funny, wacky, just the kind of thing you Mad Money Machine listeners would like.
You came by my heart today, said let's go walking like we used to. I was busy, busy as sin. Gonna have to wait for another day. So you walk away. What am I supposed to say here now? Is there somewhere you can rescue me? Somewhere you can bring me home again? Rescue me, rescue me.
And while you're there, take a look at the other book you can buy along with the Cramer's book, Real Money. And that book is, of course, Index Funds, a 12-step program for active investors. And it's a book I'll be giving away in just a second. But let me mention one thing about the book. In there are a number of tables and charts that I recommend you spend some time looking at. For example, on page 122, annual returns of 16 indexes, all the way back to the year 1927. You can see the performance of the different indexes that the index funds advisors have tracked. The large cap funds, the large cap value funds, the mid cap, the small cap value, real estate investment trusts, international value, international stocks, and so on. And you can see at a glance the performance of all of these indexes over the entire 78 years being tracked in the market. That's just one example of all kinds of different charts and tables that you can take a look at. And when you look at this stuff, it really helps you understand the ideas behind getting the most return for your risk. Well, I appreciate all of you who have submitted comments out at the MadMoneyMachine.com website. I've read them and thoroughly enjoyed them. I've taken notes on them, and I'm sure to include most of them in upcoming shows. The one I probably won't do is rebrand Mad Money Machine. I thought about that, and I thought, well, I think I'm going to continue talking about Kramer in each show to more or less degree. But all of the other comments, I loved them in there. Can't wait to get to them. I've got some time between this show and next show, at least, to spend on doing some more preparation for the show. So let's go out to random.org. And I'll pick a number between 1 and 20. And I'll throw out my own entry if it comes up. And I'll throw out any duplicate entries. We'll see what happens. Okay, so pick a number between 1 and 20. Press get number. And the number is 10. And that corresponds to the Swede. Well, says, hi, Paul. I'm a 25-year-old guy from Sweden who has been listening to all your shows. And first, I would like to thank you for everything I've learned from you. And at the end of it, he says, keep up the good work and best regards from the town of Lund in the south of Sweden. Reaching all the way to Sweden. Well, the Swede talks about how he's not so much interested in Kramer. And I can see that. I wonder, do you even get Kramer over there in Sweden? I guess CNBC. Do they keep that on in the international market? But congratulations, the Swede. You have won a copy of this fantastic book. For those of you that haven't won yet, don't wait to win. Just go ahead and buy a copy of the book. It's only $29.99. And for the quality that this book is, I can tell you that that is an extreme value. You know how college textbooks are going for upwards of $100 now. Well, this one is in superior quality to any of those, I'm sure. So just go buy a copy. You will be glad you did. I do want to, nonetheless, give away another copy of the book. Even though I just told you not to wait to buy a copy. Well, go ahead and buy a copy. Submit your entry to win a copy. And if you do win, well, give a copy to a friend. Here's what we're going to do to give away a copy of the book this time. By the next show, I'd like for you to go out to madmoneymachine.com and enter a comment into the show notes for this show and answer this question. Tell me something you have learned by going to the ifa.com website. There is so much material out there, and I'm sure you can learn something. Go out there, take a look, and tell me what you've learned. I will pick a random winner on the next show and send you a copy of Index Funds, the 12-Step Program for Active Investors. Also on the next show, I'm going to start a little segment that puts the Mad Money Machine special touch on each of the 12 steps. So stay tuned for that. Well, I can't believe my time is already up. There are so many more songs I wanted to play for you. Oh, thank you for listening. I'm Paul Douglas Boyer saying it takes money to make money, and it takes a big old mishmash of allocated assets to make a mad money machine. I'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Paul Douglas Boyer's Mad Money Machine. Some music played on this program was made possible by the Podsafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. The Mad Money Machine is not affiliated with Jim Cramer, CNBC, Real Money, TheStreet.com, or anyone else, really. I may have long or short positions on some or all of the investments discussed on this show. Although the information discussed on this program is believed to be reliable, neither I nor the sponsors of this program make any representations or warranties whatsoever as to its accuracy or completeness. Nor do we assess, verify, or guarantee the suitability or profit of any particular investment, and you should not rely solely upon this program for purposes of transacting securities or other investments. Opinions expressed by me and any of my guests are current opinions only and subject to change without notice. Thanks for listening. Join me again next time for more of Paul Douglas Boyer's Mad Money Machine.
I know it's all gonna be okay. Draw me gently to your presence. But I've been headstrong, I've been a hard-hearted. Help me live my life a little more like you. You make all things new, but I've been struggling to stand beside you. Lord, is there somewhere you can rescue me? Somewhere you can bring me home again. Somewhere you can rescue me. Rescue me. Rescue me. Yeah. 'Cause I'm broken, lonely without you. Left holding somewhere you can rescue me. Somewhere you can bring me home again. Somewhere you can rescue me. Rescue me. Rescue me. Is there somewhere you can rescue me? Rescue me. Rescue.